Now, here's the second box switched out.
Oh, wow.
And there's another one.
Mr. Brenner.
Yeah.
That's what it was, sir.
Okay.
But it wasn't here.
It's not a truck. Or into the course.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a certain clause.
There's lots of things going possible in the back.
They used to score it there.
And then that. If you register for the press again. There was no deal with that. Okay. I will do that. We can talk to you right after she has.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
All right, I will say good morning. Let's begin. So we left off yesterday. Today's daf is Kuf Yud Aleph. We left off yesterday on the bottom of Kuf Yud Amud Beis. So again, another interesting Gemara, a lot of Agarta. But not story Agarta. More, you'll see. Says the Gemara. So we left off. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Shmuel. Kol ha-mozog, any diluted drink. Now mozog means, if you look at the Rashban, he says, or Rashi for that matter. Kol ha-mozog, im shasa yayin mozog, v'achar kach mashke mozog. So v'achar kach shasa mashke mozog, achar ha-mozog, mitzarif bin l'ra bin l'tova. D'chivon d'tarvayo mezugin inhu, kimin echad chashivi u'mitzarfi. Now one of the things we've seen with Zugos is that there is only an issue with Zugos when you have two of the same thing. So what the Gemara is just pointing out is a diluted drinks. There were certain drinks that were drunk in a non-diluted state and certain things that were only consumed in a diluted state. So diluted drinks almost come together in one category and therefore would be an issue of Zugos. So the Gemara says, Chutz tap of Kof Yod Aleph, Chutz min ha-mayim. So according to Rabbi, the name is Shmuel, everything except water, meaning water does not go ahead and pose an issue of zugos, or what we say muzzled water, diluted water. And what that would mean is, what does it mean, diluted water? If you mix hot water with cold water or cold water with hot water, one is mixing two different types of water, so to speak. That is not considered to be, that would not be an issue of muzzled. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Maim. Rabbi Yochanan said, no, not true. Even water poses an issue ultimately of zugos. Rav Papa Amar, and again, when he says afilu mayim, even meaning that even water, let's say hot water mixed with cold water, represents a diluted drink. Amar Rav Papa, lo amran ela chamimi lego kariri, the kariri lego chamimi. That's only true when we speak about mixing hot water with cold water, or cold water with hot water. I mean, that's considered to be a mixed drink. Aval chamimi lego chamimi, the kariri lego kariri, but hot water into hot water, or cold water into cold water, ultimately, low does not represent a diluted drink. So the Gemara says, "Amar Reish Lakish, arba devarim ha'osa osan dama barosho." Reish Lakish says there are four things where if you do it, literally dama barosho, which means your blood is on your head, which means you are responsible for putting yourself in danger. Umischayiv binafsho, and one is responsible for again putting their own life in danger. And these are the things. Eluhein hanifne bein dekel lakosel, one who urinates in between a palm tree and a wall. Again, we're going to discuss each of these things in just a moment. V'ha'over ben shnei dekalim, or one who walks in between two palm trees. V'ha'shose mayim sheulin, or one who drinks borrowed water. V'ha'over amayim shefuchin, or one who passes over spilled water. V'afilu shefachto ishov ishto befanav, and even if one's wife actually spilled it out right in front of him. So what does this mean? Hanifne ben dekel lekosel, one who goes ahead and urinates in between the palm tree and the wall. Solo amran ella delesle arba amos. That's only true if what? If there's less than a space of dalet amos in between these two things. Aval isle, bless you. Aval isle arba amos, less than ba. But if there are arba amos, then there's no problem. Look at the Rashbam. The Rashbam says the following. Ella delo havi arba amos. It's the first white line in the Rashbam. Delo shavak rafcha l'sheida la'avor ben dekel l'kosel v'shumhachi maskile. Interestingly enough, again, remember, one of the things we've seen is, actually, since the Gemara here actually hasn't spoken about it all that much. The Gemara Brachos spoke about it extensively in the beginning of the first chapter, that sheidim seem to inhabit more uninhabited areas of people. There's not a lot of pedestrian traffic. So normally this space between a palm tree and the wall would not be a place that people would normally traverse. And as a result, it's a place where Shadim ultimately frequent. So the Gemara says, because of that, if a person goes ahead and urinates there, essentially they're obstructing Shade traffic. And that's not a good idea. So the Gemara says that's only true if it's not Arba Amos. But if there is Arba Amos, then again, that's a wide enough path that a person doesn't have to be concerned. Furthermore, when we say that there's not Arba Amos, lo amar ela deleka dirka acharina. That's only true also if there's not another path. Aval ika dircha acharina, but if there is another path, less lanba, then there's nothing to be concerned about. Same idea of how overbein shnei dekalim. So it would be the same idea as one who walks in between two palm trees. So the assumption over here is again that lemaisa. One is going ahead and walking in an area that's not normally traversed by the public. Therefore, it's frequented by Shadim, and therefore a person has to be careful. So the Gemara says, "Overben Shnei Dekalim, Lo Amron Elo Delo Paskinhu Rushos Harabim." That's only true if a Rushos Harabim does not run through it. Ava Paskinhu Rushos Harabim. But if a Rushos Harabim does in fact run through it, Les Lanba, then there is nothing to be concerned about. Nothing to be concerned about. Hashos Emayim Shulin. Similarly, if one goes there and drinks borrowed water. So what does that mean? Lo amron ela dishaylin hu katan. That's only true if a child borrowed it. Aval godo leslan ba. But if an adult did, there's nothing to worry about. Now look at the Rashbam here for just a moment. So the Rashbam writes, velo amron. Actually, it's the wrong Rashbam. No, not yet. Let's read a little bit more. Aval godo leslan ba. Aval godo leslan ba. Va'afilu shaylin hu katan. And even when a child borrows the water, it's only a problem in a field where water is not as frequent. But in a city where there's more water, there's no issue. I will say what the Gemara seems to be saying over here is, and again, obviously we're reading it, but what this fully means, what these concepts fully means, whether, as I mentioned every day we do this, the whole dispute regarding Shadim in general, but at least according to this approach in the Gemara, it's understood also that Shadim, there's some level of physicality associated with them on some level. Because ultimately the Gemara says they drink water. Actually, it's interesting that in the famous Gemara where Shlomo HaMelech captures Ashmedai, the king Shadim, one of the ways that they captured Ashmedai was by giving him wine and ultimately intoxicating him. So whatever these things mean, the Gemara says that lemaisa they drink, so therefore borrowed water that belongs to a child, there was a concern that ultimately Shadim would try to be drinking from it, and therefore if one were to drink from it and thereby push the Shadim aside, one would put themselves in mortal danger. The common denominator of all of these things is that one is putting oneself in a situation where Shadim potentially would be, which puts oneself in some level of danger. Va'afilu b'sade nami lo amran ela maya. Furthermore, even in the field, the issue is only with water. Aval chama v'shichra leslan ba. But wine and beer, there is no issue. So the Gemara says, over amayim shifuchin. Similarly, if one goes ahead and passes over spilled water. So the Gemara says, lo amran ela de lo afsekinhu ba'afra. That's only true if what? If you do not put dirt inside of that water. Look at the Rashbam. Actually, Rashbam has a pasketinhu. Dishchichi rabin. Afsekinu ba'aram. Sorry, three lines into the wide lines of Rashbam. To afsekinu ba'afra. Shlo pizer alein afar. That you did not sprinkle dirt into it. So the Gemara says, v'slo suf bahu roko, or you didn't spit into it. Aval afsekinu. But if you put dirt into it, o tof bahu roko, or a person spit into it, less lanba, there is no need to fear about the spilled water. Again, the spilled water is the same idea as the borrowed water, which is its water sources in which Shadim would be found. Velo amran ela delo avar alav alayhu shimsha. Furthermore, it's only an issue if the sun did not pass over the water. Velo avar alayin shisin nigri. Or again, or that's actually nigri are footsteps, or 60 people didn't walk over it. Avar alayhu shimsha, but if the sun passed over the water, va'avar alayhu shisin nigri, or 60 people walked over it, less lanba, then there is nothing to worry about. V'lo amran ela delo rachiv chamra. Furthermore, it's also true that this is about where you're walking over it yourself. But however, again, if you're riding a donkey, over it, or excuse me, velo amran delo rachiv chamra. Furthermore, it's only a danger if a person's not riding on top of the donkey. Velo siyem masane, or a person didn't put on their shoes. Aval rochiv chamra v'siyei masanei, but if a person is riding on a donkey, or a person is putting on their shoes, less lanba, then ultimately there is nothing to worry about. V'hani mili, heichod delekal amechash l'kshafim. Furthermore, this is only true when all these things that we're speaking about of Rabbi Abbasai are straight shadim issues, but not talking about kishuf. If a person has to worry about kishuf, that's a separate issue. Aval heichod de'ikal amechash l'kshafim. But where there is a situation where a person is concerned about sorcery, even if you have all of these other criteria, you're wearing shoes, you're sitting on the donkey, yeah, the sun passed over it, the spilled water can still pose a problem. So the Gemara tells us a story. There was a particular man who was riding on a donkey, and he was wearing his shoes. His shoes shrunk, and his feet shriveled up. Apparently, he became subject to some level of kishuv, and the spilled water had a negative effect on him. Okay, Tanur Rabbanon, the Braisa teaches, Shlosha ein mematzin velo mismatzin. So we'll say, look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Lo mematzin. That's the better way to say it. Lo yavru ben Hashem. There are three things that should not pass in between two people, and that a person should not pass in between two of them. Look at the Rashbam. Lo mematzoim, lo ya'avru ben anoshim. So three things that you should not have passed between you and another person. Velo mismatzim, velo yavor ish echad bein. And a person should not pass between them. And what are they? Ve'iluhein, hakelev, v'hadekel, v'haisha. A dog, a palm tree, and a woman. So what this would mean is the following. What this would mean is that a man should not walk in between two women. And that, by the way, is for a variety of different reasons. Some of it is esoteric, but Chazal actually also saw that as a din in snios, that a man should not walk in between two women. That's about your family members. A man should not walk in between two women. And similarly, again, and a woman should not walk in between two men. And similarly, again, all of these things. The dog, a dog shouldn't walk in between two people. A person shouldn't walk in between two dogs. Same thing with the palm tree. The ish omrim, others also include in this. Hachazir, the chazir. The ish omrim af hanachash. And others say a snake as well. Vimimatzon. And if you do pass in between these things, my takante, what is one's remedy? Amarav Papa says, niftach bekel, v'nafsik bekel. You should open up with kel, and you should end with kel. And also what he's referring to over here are the pesukim in Devarim of kel motzei mimitzrayim, kiso afos re'im lo. It's a series of pesukim, and ultimately, again, what these pesukim speak about is kilo nachash b'yakov, v'lo kesem b'Yisrael, that negative spirits or forces do not have an effect on the Jewish people, which of course is a very, very ironic that we're saying that now, given the whole context of everything we've been learning over the last couple of days. But the point the Gemara is saying is, recite these particular psukim that speak about the idea that negative forces don't have an effect on Klal Yisrael. Inami, or the other possibility is, you should say niftach below, v'nifsak below, v'nafsik below. So you should begin with low and end with low. What is that talking about? Also, same psukim, or actually a couple of psukim earlier in Bamidbar as well. Lo ish el v'yichazev uben adam v'yisnachem hahu amar v'lo yaasev diber v'lo yikimenu. Same idea, but so you're quoting these psukim that have to do with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches over Klal Yisrael, and ultimately, again, we are not susceptible to some of the negative forces that exist. Hani beitre de matzalahu isha nida. Now the Gemara says something amazing. If you have two men and a woman who is in nida walks in between them, in im tchilas nidosahi horeges echad mehem. If she's at the beginning of her nidos, one of them will die. Im sof nidosa, if she's at the end of her nidos, mariva osa beinehen. Ultimately, they're going to end up arguing. Now, first, I want to point out to you something interesting. If you look at Tosos, the only two Tosos on this page, Tosos points out over here, if you look at the last Tosos, it says, "Im tchilas nida hi horeges, yesh mefaresh im osa lahen kishuf." That's what is this talking about over here? if she does some kind of sorcery. Again, somehow I guess the Gemara understood that sorcery is tied into her nidus as well. So if she's doing sorcery at this particular point in time, then she could actually cause harm to these individuals. Maitakante, so what should you do if indeed this happens? Niftach bekel, v'nafsik bekel. Again, you should recite the psukim that we said before. So the Gemara said, well, so you'll say to yourself, you know, how does a person know that the woman that's passing, how would a person know? You have to understand, in the times of the Gemara, so women wore white clothing at the times of their nidus. It was actually not a private thing. They had to do that because, again, in days, not really times of the Gemara as much, but times of the Beis HaMikdash, when we speak about begadim levanim, so contemporarily, the way we take that to mean is that during Shiva Nikim, during a woman's seven clean days, she wears white underwear. But the truth is, in the original Mashiach, Begadim Levanim was actually that a woman would wear different clothing during her days of nidus than she would wear during the rest of the year. Because think about it, when a woman is a nida, so it's not just a deceit. For our purposes, it really only has an impact on intimate life. But during times of the Beis HaMikdash, it has an incredible impact on everything, right? If a person is a Kohen, it has a certain impact on the family, right? Handling kachim, sacrificial items, consecrated items. So it's a very significant shift each and every month. So often women would wear clothing that delineated that they were in this particular state. All right, either way, so the Gemara says, Maita kante, what should you do? Niftach pe'el bekel v'nafsik pe'el, excuse me. Hani shrei noshi, the yasvam of Parshas Drachim. If you see two women sitting at the crossroads, chada b'hai gisa de shvila, v'chada b'idach gisa. Right, one sitting on this side of the path, and one sitting on the other side of the path. U'mechavnon apayhu lahadadi. And they are facing each other. The Gemara says, v'adai b'kshafim askinon, or asikon. They are definitely engaging in sorcery, right? What else are they doing over there? So the Gemara says, "Maitakante." So what should you do? So the Gemara gives a very good piece of advice. Eid dircha achrina lezelba. So what's the first piece of advice? Go in a different direction, right? If there's another path, take another path. Ve'ilecha dircha achrina. And if there's not another path, so the Gemara says, "Iika inish achrina bahadei." If you're walking with someone else, niktu liadayu. Take the other person's hand in your own, b'hadi hadadi, b'nichlefu, and you can pass through. Apparently, again, kishuf only has, like shadim, that kishuf only has an effect on an individual. It does not have an, it cannot have an impact on more than one individual. So apparently, you take the hand of the person whom you are with, and your combined presence prevents any kishuf from setting in. V'ilekir inishachrina, and if there's no one else with you, so ne'imahaki, this is what you should say. It's actually interesting. Agris azlos, asya, bolisya, miskatla, bechek, kaval. All right, what does that mean? Look at the Rashbam. It's actually 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom of the Rashbam. Igras azlos, osya, bolisa. So he writes over here, osam shadin, sha'aten oskos, ban mikshavim. So apparently, these are the names of shadin. These are names of Shadim, right? So all of these names over here are Shadim ultimately that are involved in damage, in harm. So what happens? Miskatlin b'chei kaval kvar harugim. I've already killed you with my crossbow. Okay, so this is what you say. So you say to the Shadim that ultimately would cause damage, you have no hold on me. Haiman depaga be'isisa. The idna the salka mitvilas mitzvah. This is actually interesting. If a man encounters a woman who has just come out of the mikvah, who has just immersed and is going home after going to the mikvah, so the Gemara says ihu kadim umishamish. If he goes ahead and has relations first, achda le lididei ruach zununim, he will be overtaken by a spirit of immorality. If she has relations first, ultimately she will be overtaken by a spirit of immorality. Actually, it's just interesting over here. What else the Gemara could be alluding to is that if a man saw a woman and he knows that she just went to the mikvah, so ultimately, again, a person knows that after a woman goes to a mikvah, what she's going to be doing that particular evening. So it's possible that when he has relations, he may end up thinking about her. Chazal feel very strongly that it's a terrible breach in marital intimacy for husband and wife to be thinking about anyone else at the time when they are with each other. So the Gemara says that there's a concern that if a man sees this woman coming out of the mikvah, when I say coming out of the mikvah, you understand what I mean? I don't mean literally coming out of the mikvah. Meaning he sees her, let's say, leaving the mikvah building. In that situation, there's a concern that she may be in his thoughts ultimately when he is with his wife, and that ultimately creates a certain sense of immorality within the individual. So the Gemara says, "My takante." So what ultimately is the remedy? Lemehach, you should say this: Shofech buz amedivim. He goes ahead and pours degradation on the princes. V'toim batohu lo derech, and they get lost in the path that leads to no end. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, my dichsev. What's the meaning of the pasuk? Gam ki'elech begeit salmoves lo ira ra ki atoim adi. What does it mean when the pasuk says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear anything because you are with me? So what does that refer to? What's this shadow of death? Meaning, what is this dangerous situation to which David HaMelech refers? Ze hayoshen b'tzel dekel yechidi. This is referring to one who sleeps in the shade of a sole of a lone palm tree. And we'll say, now we're back to shade them again. The concern in general is that any uninhabited area, especially where there's some shade, that's apparently, no pun intended, but that's a place where shadim can sometimes be found. So the idea is to go ahead and sleep in an area that has a solitary palm tree, one is putting themselves in danger. So the Gemara says, Ubitzel Levana, and similarly that applies to the shade of the moon. So we'll see also what Tzel Levana means. If you look at the Rashbam writes, Betzila Shel Levana, Inam Yaholich Palaila Kesha Levana Zorachos, Fuholich Betzel Aksolim. So the way the Rashbam understands it is, what does it mean, the shade of the moon? It means if you're walking at night, but you're walking close to a wall so that the wall provides some shade, so to speak, against the moonlight. That again would put one in Shadim's way. So the Gemara says, now the Gemara qualifies this. And when we speak about sleeping in the shade of a lone palm tree, that's only if what? The shade of a second palm tree does not also cast some additional shade by the first palm tree. However, but if there's some additional shade that's provided from a second palm tree, I guess then it's no longer a lone palm tree, then lemaise again, that's not a problem with shading. So the Gemara says, Elohod disanya, but that which we learned, if one goes ahead and sleeps in the shade of a lone palm tree, even in a chatzar, or one who sleeps again in the shadow of the moon, which again we spoke about, what really means the shadow of the wall from the moonlight, so ultimately he's responsible for any harm that comes to him. Hey Chidomi, what's the case? If you want to say that the lone palm tree is mamish alone, and there's no shade from any other palm tree overtaking it, then I feel a besada nami lo. Excuse me. I feel the besadinami. Then that would be true also in a field. Elalav shmamina bechatzer afagav dinafel tula dechavrei iluye shmamina. But rather, it must be that apparently, again, a lone palm tree in a chatzer, even if there is shade from a second palm tree, is still problematic. So the Gemara says, ubetzila shalavana. So when we speak about sleeping in the shade of the moon, lo amar ela b'ma'arava. That's only true when it's talking about the shade in the west. Aval b'medinachsa. But with the shade in the east, less lanba, there is no concern. So the Gemara goes weiter. Haiman. All right, we'll say another interesting idea. Haiman demathni agirda de dikla. One who goes ahead and relieves himself on the stump of a palm tree. Now, we'll say, you have to understand something. So please, that in the days, obviously, before indoor plumbing, so where was the bathroom located? Right, wherever you needed it to be. So again, a person was traveling. So again, these laws of, you know, I guess we'll call it you know, relieving etiquette. If there's such a, you know, these laws of what you should do, how you should do, where you should go are very important. So a person goes ahead and relieves oneself on the stump of a palm tree. So the Gemara says, Achoda le'lidide ruach palga. A person could become possessed by the spirit of palga. So again, so apparently this was the name also of a particular shade. Vahayman de matli reisha. Similarly, because also you can remember, understand that the stump, or Torah saying is obviously probably a little bit higher than just the ground level. Any place that's not traversed by the public, there's always the possibility that shadim are around there. So apparently going ahead and relieving yourself in the place where there might be shadim seems to upset the shadim a little bit. So the Gemara says, Vahayman de matli reisha. Agirda de dikla. Similarly, if one goes ahead and rests his head on the stump of a palm tree, achdole ruach tzirada. A person can become possessed by the spirit, by the ruach of tzirada. Haiman de pasi adikla. So again, I will say, if a person goes ahead and literally steps over the stump of the palm tree, imikta. So I will say, so like this, if everything depends on how the palm tree was cut down. If it was actually chopped down, kotel, chas v'shalom, person may have a death sentence hanging over their head. Iyakar, if it was uprooted, mi akar umayis, a person will be uprooted and die. Hani mili delo manach kare iluye. But this is only true of what? If you went ahead and you did not place your foot on the stump. Ava manach kare iluye, but like if you literally stepped on the stump and stepped over it, less lanba, then there is nothing for one to worry about. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. Chamish, I just want to point out also, just so you should understand, we're obviously doing this somewhat quickly because we have to do it's Daf Yomi. So just so you should understand, meaning there are the Mefarshim do give explanations for you, because remember, as I mentioned over and over, that there are two ways of understanding these Gemaras. You could take it literally, you know, understand that there are these forces that exist in this world that we're just simply not aware of, or we don't even see. Maybe they did exist, whatever it might be. And the other plane of understanding is what? Is that there's a deeper metaphorical meaning to each of these things. So you should just be aware that, again, there are, the Ben Yehoyada does it, the Maral and Chidushei Agados does it, that there is metaphorical meaning for each of these things as well. Obviously, it's outside the abilities of our time, but just know that it does exist. So the Gemara goes weiter. Chamisha tule have tula. Or say, chamisha tule have. There are five different types of shade. Tula de dikla, when you speak about the shade of the palm tree. Tula de dikla yechida, the palm of the shade of a lone palm tree. Tula de kanda. Kanda is a lot tree, a lot tree. I don't know, lot tree, L-O-T-E, a lot tree. Tula de parcha, the shade of a caper bush. Tula de zardaso, the shade of a sorb tree. Ikadam, so we'll say again, what the Gemara is saying is all of these things. Remember, we've already established that one has to be careful in shaded areas, because ultimately shadim could be there, especially if they're not traversed by people. Ikadam, others say, af tula de arva, so too one has to be careful with the shade of a boat. Vitula de arvasa. Klala de milsa. So the Gemara says, here's the klal. Kol de nafish anfei. Anything that has a lot of branches. Koshe tule. Its shade could be dangerous. Again, it's not the shade that's dangerous. It's the fact that shadim could inhabit that shaded area that makes it dangerous. Vichol de koshe siluye. Koshe tule. And any tree whose wood is harmful, ultimately its shade is harmful as well. Levad mekaru masha, with the exception of a tree that they used to call, it's called the service tree, karu masha. Afal gav de kashi siluye, because even though, again, its wood is harmful, lo kashi tule, its shade is not harmful. The amr le shida lebra, because someone once overheard a shade talking of Shay talking to her son, and she said, Pirche nafsheikh mikaru masha, distance yourself from the service tree, de ihu de katala avucha, because it was this type of tree that killed your father, the katalididei, and why should it kill you as well? Amar Ravashi said, Chazina le Rav Kahana, I saw that Rav Kahana the parish mikula tule. This is very interesting. So Rashi saw that I saw that Rav Kahana actually always distanced himself from any shaded area. But I will say the reason why this is very interesting is because it's interesting to see these things. It's also very interesting to see when you see that people's behavior, because often remember the way we learn halacha is by what people did, at least initially. So it is interesting to see that Rav Ashi saw that Rav Kahana always avoided shaded areas. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. Bei Parchi. So now I will say what the Gemara is going to do is the Gemara is going to focus on The Gemara quoted all of these different types of trees and growths that ultimately are problematic because they have shadim by them. So the Gemara is going to tell us what exists in each of these areas. So if you take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment, the Rashbam writes the following. It says, "De bei parchi ruchi, osam shadim de bei parchi, shman ruchi." So for example, the shadim that hang out by the caper bush, they're called ruchi. The bei zardasa, the shadim that stay by the zardasa. Zardasa was the sorb tree. Sheda, those are called shadim. The bei igri, the shadim that stay on rooftops. Rishvi, these are called rishvi. So each of these shadim have different names. Lemay nafkamino, who cares? Meaning, what do we care what their names are? So the Gemara says it makes a difference. Likmiya, we'll say we spoke about this actually in Erevin a little bit, and we spoke about actually so about it in the context of carrying. So a kmiya is an amulet. So one of the ways in which they went ahead and they dealt with shadim, as well as again different things, ruach ra, evil spirits, was through a kamiya, through the creation of an amulet. So the truth is there are even those today, you find this much more in Kabbalistic circles, who still practice the writing of kameos, the writing of amulets, and it's a big to-do. So the Gemara says apparently one of the ways in which you would go ahead and negate the effect of shadim is through a kamiya. But a kamiya is only effective if what? If you know the type of shade for whom you are writing the kamiya. So the Gemara says, the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, the shade that lives in the caper bush. So beria she'in la'inayim. It's a shade without eyes. So the Gemara says, "Lamai nafkamina." What does that matter to us? Ligazuzela. It's helpful if you need to run away. So if you need to run away, just know that the shade ultimately doesn't have eyes, so it won't be able to follow you for long. Zimna chada. There was an episode. Zimna chada hava azel tzura mirabanan. There was a particular young rabbinic scholar. Zimna chada hava azel tzura mirabanan laafnuye lebei parche. There was a particular man that once went to relieve himself, and he did so again on a caper bush. And what happened? Shama deka asi iluye. So now, as he was relieving himself on the caper bush, so the shade that was there got a little bit upset. And what happens? Shama deka ase iluye. He heard that what? No comments on this, right? He heard that the shade was coming after him, meaning he heard that he was in trouble. So what happens? The gazile, and ultimately he ran. Ki azla chavke ledikla. So apparently, again, what the Gemara says, remember, the shade of the caper bush doesn't have eyes. And therefore, again, it ended up running into a palm tree. Literally means it hugged the palm tree. Savach dikla. The palm tree shriveled up. Upakehi. And the shade burst. The shade died. Okay. So the Gemara says, parcha debe zardasa shidiu. So the Gemara says, parcha debe zardasa shidiu. So remember, we saw already, Parcha is the caper bush. So there was this caper bush that had these shadim. Zardasa de smicha lamasa lo pachsa mishisin shadi. And there was, once again, the Gemara talks about this caper bush that was close to the city, and it did not have less than 60 shadim in it. So this was apparently a shade hotspot. So the Gemara says, "Lamai nafkam." You know, what does it matter if there are 60 shadim or one shade there? So the Gemara says, "It makes a difference." L'michtav le'kamiya. It makes a difference. Why? In terms of the kamiya, in terms of the amulet, because again, apparently, the amulet is only effective if it reflects the shade reality of this particular place. Hahu bar kasha demasa the azil v'kai gabi zardasa to have a samach l'masa. There was a bar kasha. So the Rashbam says shulterayir, a particular watchman who went to this zardasa. Again, remember our zardasa is a sorb tree that was close to the city. So why he was going there? Maybe he was going there to relieve himself. Maybe he was just going there just to sit there, whatever it was. And what happens? Alu b'shisin, alu b'shisin shedi v'istakin. So the shedim entered him, and he was in mortal danger. So what happens? So there was one of the Talmidei Chacham wanted to help him, a particular Torah scholar who did not know that there were 60 Shadim there. So this young Talmid Chacham knew that there were Shadim, but he did not know how many Shadim were there. So what happens? Kasav le kamiya lechada shida. So he wrote a kamiya just thinking that there was only one Shade there. So what happens? Shamu de talu chinga begave. So what happens? He heard that literally they were hanging up their utensils in the tree. Now what does that mean? What it means is they were setting up shop, right? That the Shadim were excited because this Kamiya was going to have no impact on them. So they were literally, they put up their, Mishpachas Shadim olive wood sign, on the top of the tree. Their mom is getting comfortable. They weren't going anywhere. The Kamashuach, and he heard them singing the following. Sudre Demar Kitsura Meirabanan. So what happens? They started singing. They were taunting the Talmid Chacham. And they were singing, this guy, Talmidei Chachamim used to wear, interesting, married Talmidei Chachamim used to wear a head covering over their head. Very interesting. Almost like today, at least by Ashkenazim, the custom is that if one wears their tassel over their head, they only do it after they're married. So that practice seems to have its origins ultimately in times of the Gemara, that Talmidei Chacham who were married would wear a covering over their head. So they say that this young man who wears the covering over his head, he doesn't even know how to say Baruch Atah Hashem. So they were taunting him because what they were saying is, you don't even know how to make a proper kamiya to get rid of the shadim. So what happens? The yada dizarzos the shisin shadihaba. Kasov le kamiya, the shisin shadi. So what happens? Talmid Chacham then realized that there are more than 60 shadim over here. See, he wrote a new kamiya, a new amulet that reflected this reality of 60 shadim. And what happens? Shama de ka'amru. He heard them saying, "Panu minaychu mehacha, let's get out of here." Okay, so it worked. Ketev meriri. So I both say the phrase ketev meriri that appears in the Torah. Trey. So the Gemara says, "Trey kat vihavu, chad mikame tiara, v'chad mibasra tiara." So I both say ketev meriri refers ultimately again to a destructive type of spirit. If you take a look, at the Rashbam. The Rashbam says over here, no Rashbam yet. So Ketev Meriri, so there are two different types of destructive spirits. Chad Mikamei Tihara, one before noontime. V'chad Mibasar Tihara, and one after noontime. De Mikamei Tihara, Ketev Meriri Shmo. The destructive spirit before noontime, that's called Ketev Meriri. Umechzei, and it could appear within a jug of kamcha. And Rabbi say kamcha ultimately is what? Kamcha is like kusach, like we spoke about before, which is that mixture of moldy bread and moldy milk, like a yogurt type of mixture that was used as a dip. V'hadar be'bichsha, and like a mixing spoon. The basar tihara, afternoon time, ketev yashut saharayim shemo. The name of this destructive spirit is Ketev Yashut Soharayim. Umechzei Bekarna Di'izo. And it could sometimes be seen between the horns of a goat. Vahader Bekinafya. And it is seen also in the appearance of a whirling sieve. Abaye have a shokil v'ozil. V'ozil Rav Papa Mimine. V'Rav Huna Breid Rav Yoshua Mismole. So Abaye was walking. And Rav Papa was on his right. And Rav Huna was on his left. Chazye lahu Ketev Meriri. See, he saw Ketev Meriri coming on his left, which again, which meant it would have encountered Rav Papa on his right. What happened? Ahadre de Rav Papa lismale, excuse me, would have encountered on his left. See, he moved Rav Papa to his left and Rav Huna to his right. So both say, remember, so Rav Huna was originally on his right, Rav Huna was on his left. He saw Ketev Meriri coming on his left side, and so he moved Rav Papa to the right, and Rav Huna to the left. Amalei Rav Papa, So Rav Papa, you can imagine, wasn't necessarily very appreciative of this because Abaye just put Rav Papa in Ketev Meriri's way. So why did you put me in Ketev Meriri's way? Amrale at Shaita Kayam Eslacha. You, Rav Papa, you, the literally the hour smiles upon you. What does that mean? Look at Rashbam Rav Osai. Shaita Kayam Eslacha. Ashirata, you're very wealthy. V'yesh lecha mazel tov v'lo tezek. So apparently someone who has very strong mazel, someone whom life is going well for them, so these destructive spirits don't have a hold on them. Therefore says Abaye, Rav Papa, for you, you are in a state of good mazel, and therefore I put you on the left and moved Rav Huna to the other side. Okay, so the Gemara says, Mechad b'tamos v'ad shisrabe, from the 1st of Tammuz until the 16th of Tammuz, v'adai shrichi, these destructive spirits are absolutely found. So the Gemara says, "Vaday shrichi mikan ve'elech, from here on in, safik shrichi, safik lo shrichi. Sometimes they're around, sometimes they're not. Umishtachachi betuli dechatzpa delochatzev garmida. And these destructive spirits are often found in long grass that did not grow in Amma. Ubetuli ditzafra upanya delohavi garmida. And also again in the shade in the morning and the evening. Again, that is not an Amma, meaning that the shade itself does not extend an Amma. The Ikar, but where could shade them really be found? Betuli de Beis HaKisei. In the shade of the Beis HaKisei, the bathroom. Now, also understand something. Now, why the bathroom? Because understand, outhouses were often in a little bit more further removed places. So remember, the common denominator always is that the shadim are found in places that are not really inhabited or traversed all that much by people. Amar Rav Yosef, Hani tlas mili yohiv arvona lenaro. There are three things that ultimately cause sight to be replaced with blindness, meaning three things that are detrimental to one's sight. Man desarik reisha yavish, one who combs his hair when his hair is dry. Uman deshasi tiftif, one who drinks drop from a barrel of wine. Uman desayim masanai ademanai seikara, and one who puts his shoes on wet feet. There are three things in your home that ultimately, if you do them, could bring a person to poverty. I take that back. Take a look at the Rashbam. Look at the Rashbam. He says over here, if one hangs his bread, one suspends his bread in his house, that could bring one to poverty. Kida Amri in GS people say, Tala silsa, tala mizone. One who suspends his bread suspends his livelihood. But I will say, what that's referring to also over here, this actually sees elsewhere in the Gemara as well, which is that suspending bread seems to be like a degradation, not treating bread appropriately. One who does not treat food appropriately, the Gemara seems to feel the quid pro quo for that is, if you don't treat your bread, which represents your parnasa appropriately, then ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu withholds that parnasa. Velo Amran Ela Rifta. That's what I will say again. We know that we have a very serious etiquette when it comes to how we deal with bread. Velo Amran Ela Rifta. That's only true with bread. Aval Bisra Vekuri Les Limba. But if you want to hang meat or hang fish, that's okay. Why? Because that's the normal derech. Rabbi say people would hang meat. People would hang fish, especially in order to dry it out. That's not considered to be a degradation to these foods, because that's how the foods ultimately were either smoked or dried or ultimately stored. So the Gemara says, Orchei, that's the normal case. Pa'ari Bebeisei, if a person has bran in his house, Kashe Leniyusa, that ultimately is difficult because it brings about poverty. We'll say, you understand, no one, everything that we eat today that we pay a lot of money for because it's quote unquote healthy, no one ate during the times of the Gemara. No one ate bran. You know who ate bran? Animals ate bran. People did not. You only eat bran mamish if, like, you were. Same thing with whole wheat bread. No, whole wheat bread was eaten by paupers, right? The people who had something only ate white bread, clean flour bread. So bran, these things were not. So a person has bran in his house, nebuch, that must mean you're poor. Neshura babesa, if a person has a neshura in his house, so what's the neshura? Take a look at the Rashbam Rabosai. Neshura, pirur and shapas, breadcrumbs. Kashilin Yusuf. All you have is breadcrumbs. The Nemach that also bespeaks poverty. Beleli Shabbosos Ubeleli Revios. Sharu Mazikin Eluye. Destructive spirits are often felt on the night of Shabbos and on Leili Revios, which ultimately means Tuesday nights, Sharu Mazikin Eluye, Shedim are out, so one has to be careful. As Isra Dimizone, the name of the Malach, who's in charge of sustenance, who's in charge of Mizonos, Nokid Shmei, his name is Nokid. Isra Da'ani Yusa, the Malach who's in charge of poverty, Novel Shmei, his name is ultimately called Novel. Tsoa Apume Dechatzba, Kashlin Yusa, placing a plate on top of a barrel of wine could ultimately bring a person to poverty. Man Dishasi Maya Bitsoi, one who drinks wine from plates, as well as what that's talking about over here is that you don't have cups, so you dole out the wine on a plate. Ultimately, Kasha. Kashi levaruksi, Rashbam says, kill your name, it leads one to blindness. The ochli tochli, if one eats kress, velo mashi yade, and does not wash his hands afterwards, mafchid tlasin yom. Ultimately, he'll be in a state of fear for 30 days, and Rashbam says, ve'eni yode alama, and he won't even know why. All right, we'll say.
Yeah.
A lot to absorb, but I'll have to stop over here.
This tomorrow would have went viral.
I'm sorry?
This would have went viral.
Yeah.
And we all have breadcrumbs in our
lives. You know, it's interesting. It's just, it's, you know, again, whatever it means on what level, to be honest with you, it's interesting nevertheless.
I think it was yesterday.